Hey, what's up, everybody, and welcome to the Medical Marketing Podcast, the show where we give you actionable tips and advice to help improve your practice marketing, grow revenue, and take patient experience to the next level. This week, we're going to be doing something a little different. This week, we'll be replaying the audio from a webinar hosted by the team at Software Finder. They graciously invited me to participate in the webinar, which was all about how to set up a medical practice during the COVID-19 pandemic. So we walk through some best practices and marketing channels to help you get patients to your brand new practice. So if you're new to the healthcare space or just opening up a practice on your own during these challenging times, there's a lot of valuable information here.
Good afternoon and welcome to our webinar, Setting Up a New Medical Practice During COVID-19. My name is Kate and I will be moderating our session today. Our panelists today are Marianne Lambert from Software Finder and Mr. Crawford Ifland, founder and CEO of Messenger Healthcare Marketing, a leading healthcare practice marketing company in the US. Mr. Ifland has over 12 years' experience creating marketing strategies for healthcare providers and organizations. Clients range from single physician offices to multi-physician practices and hospitals.
All right. Well, thank you, Marianne and Kate and the entire Software Finder team for having me be a part of this today. Let me just pull up my screen here and we can get going. So, marketing your practice. As Marianne mentioned, I am Crawford Ifland, and I am the CEO and founder of Messenger Healthcare Marketing. And a little bit about us. So, we were founded in 2012, and we focus exclusively on digital strategies for healthcare providers. So, we really aim to be a one-stop shop for private practices to acquire more patients. So the way we operate, we have a distributive team of experts in their respective fields. So from SEO to paid advertising campaigns, brand identity design, and much, much more, we have people who can help in pretty much every arena of marketing your practice. And if a practice is looking for something that we might not do, we do have a vast network of contractors and freelancers, so we can definitely connect you with somebody who does. Our agency is a certified Google partner, so all of our experts have passed Google product certification exams and are up to date on the latest knowledge. And healthcare marketing is all we do and all we focus on. So, you want to set up a new practice. Where do you begin? Well, as Marianne mentioned, there are many considerations to take into account as you get started on this journey. Things like developing a business plan, negotiating leases for office space, staffing your practice, who do you need and how much are you going to pay them? You also have to think through things like funding and credit considerations, partnerships with banks, getting the right financing for your new practice. And of course, that's not to mention the pandemic that we all find ourselves in right now. But unless patients actually show up, it's all for naught. Patients are the lifeblood of your practice because without a steady flow of patients coming through the door each and every month, you're not going to be in business for long. And because of that, getting patients is the biggest challenge facing every new practice. And with that goes some good news and some bad news. The bad news is that that challenge never really goes away. If you want your practice to grow, you need that consistent pipeline of patient leads coming in the door every month. But the good news is that there are high ROI strategies out there that can deliver new patients to your practice. And the challenge is finding the right mix for your practice and getting your marketing channels on autopilot. And that's what we're going to look at a little bit today. But first, let's start off by looking at where we are and some of the challenges that COVID-19 has presented to the healthcare community. Now, there are many challenges facing both new and established practices alike. This spring, we saw lots of mandatory government shutdowns and pauses in elective surgeries in particular. And some states are shutting down again as we see numbers rise. there have been ebbs and flows of case numbers, and it's very dependent on where you live and where your practice is located. If you're in New York right now, you've probably, fingers crossed, already seen the worst of it. But if you're in another place like Florida or Texas, it's a very different story. And that's not to mention business challenges. We've seen lots of practices furlough or lay off their staff entirely. Lots of tightening of credit and contraction of revenue as practices have had to pause their operations. And when you do open, there are new operating procedures all around. Things like mandatory face masks, social distancing within the practice. Lots of practices are shifting to telemedicine for screenings before a patient ever comes in. And it's because of this that there's really never been a more challenging time to be in medicine. I mean, I've talked to many doctors who have been in business for over 30 years, and they've said this pandemic is the hardest thing that they've ever experienced. But as a new practice, there's never been a better opportunity to set your brand apart. COVID, in many ways, is leveling the playing field for new practices. Some legacy practices have taken COVID as an impetus to wind down their operations entirely. And others are exiting the advertising market for the time being to kind of save their revenue. Now, I don't want to come off as if I'm celebrating any of these things. Obviously, it's a very hard situation for many people around the country and around the world. But those factors are an opportunity for new practices like yours to establish your brand and set yourself apart. So let's talk about branding for a minute. And first, we'll start off with the question, what is a brand? Now, when you try to answer this question, there are lots of misconceptions out there. Probably the one we hear most often is, oh, your brand is just your logo. Well, that's not true. Your logo is part of your brand, but it's just one of many parts. In reality, your brand is what your patients say it is. Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos has been quoted as saying, your brand is what other people say about you when you're not in the room. And at Messenger, we like to define a brand as the sum of all touch points that patients have with your organization. So this could include pretty obvious things like your website, things like your search presence on Google. Are you showing up on page one or are you on page 10? This includes your advertising campaigns, social media and other marketing channels, as well as some intangible things that you might not have thought about before. Things like what your office space and your waiting room look like. How does your staff answer the phone when a patient calls? Does a patient have to go through a phone tree of, you know, press 9 for this and press 2 for this? Or does a real human being pick up on the first ring? As an aside, we actually have one of our clients who moved all of their phones and office operations to the physical rear of their practice. So if you were in their waiting room, you'll never hear a phone ring. It was super important to them to think through all of the different ways that patients can interact with their practice, take a really holistic view there. And if you want to elevate your brand and attract new patients, it's all about presenting a coherent story across all of those touch points, even the ones that you might not be thinking about. Now today, we'll be looking at primarily the digital touch points, and it all starts with your website. As a physician, your website is the foundation of all of your digital marketing efforts. Nearly every patient that you interact with in person or maybe via telehealth these days, they're going to interact with your website at some point. And if you fail to deliver an exceptional experience online, that translates into poor patient perceptions of value. So if you want to attract new patients to your brand new practice, you really need to wow them with your website. Now, there's been a big focus on patient experience in recent years, and rightly so. And a core belief that we hold at Messenger is that patient experience doesn't start at the door of your office. Oftentimes, it starts online well before patients ever meet you face to face. So you need to do all of that work to get off on the right foot and make a great first impression. So to do that, you need to focus on the fundamentals and keep patient experience at the heart of everything you do. Your website doesn't have to be terribly flashy, but it does need to provide a good experience. So how can you make your practice website the best it can be? Well, first of all, your website has to be responsive. And a responsive website is one whose content rearranges itself to show well on devices with smaller screen sizes. On a desktop, a block of text and a photo might appear side by side, but if you take that website and look at it on a mobile device like an iPhone, that photo will move beneath the block of text because that screen is so narrow. So if you're looking at a responsive website, there's no small text, you don't need to pinch to zoom just to read the things. You're usually not going to see a full navigation menu. Instead, you'll see an icon to open up a menu and can serve that real estate on your screen. And it's important to note that this is just one website. It's not a separate mobile website. So everything operates under one roof. Now, responsive design is important because of patient expectations and mobile internet use. In 2017, mobile traffic was 52% of all traffic on the internet, and that number is only rising as the years go on. Now, they say you never get a second chance to make a first impression, and that's really true online, because it only takes 5/100ths of a second for our brains to process information and form an opinion about what we're seeing. And if that opinion is negative, you're really not doing yourself any favors. Just take a look at these stats. Nearly 3 out of 5 patients won't recommend a business with a poorly designed mobile site. 85% of patients think that a company's website, when viewed on a mobile device, should be as good as, if not better than, its desktop website. And almost 9 out of 10 patients are less likely to return to a site after they've had a bad experience. So you need to make sure that it works well on all devices. Your website also has to be fast. Half of patients expect a maximum of 2 seconds of loading time for an average website. And 4 out of 5 patients, 80%, expect the entire website to load in under 4 seconds. Now, it's difficult to balance website functionality with speed. The temptation, especially for doctors, is always to add more, but it's important to remain fast as you do so. And that's especially important, again, for mobile devices. If you're at home on your Wi-Fi, chances are you have a fast connection. But what if you're out on your phone and you're connected to a cell tower and you don't have that great service? The website isn't going to load as quickly, but the patient expectations remain the same. So you really need to deliver. And speed is crucial for Google too, which we'll get into in a little bit. And the final thing I want to mention, or the question I want to ask with a website, is should you blog as a doctor? Now, our default answer at Messenger is a resounding yes, you should blog and have a content marketing strategy in place. And the reason is for SEO, and that brings us to our next strategy for patient growth. Now, there are a lot of myths and misconceptions about what SEO is. But put simply, it's just the process of optimizing your website to appear higher in search engine results. You want to put your best foot forward to Google and other search engines so that they can discover your content, interact with your website, and then when a patient is doing a search, rank you higher. Why does SEO matter? Well, the following two statistics are really important. In 2020, 8 out of 10 patients turned to Google as their very first step in researching healthcare, whether it's a health condition, a procedure, or choosing a new doctor. And fewer than 1 in 100 patients ever clicks through to page 2 of Google or beyond. So if you're not on page 1, that means missed opportunities and missed revenue. And as a practice that's new to the market, you can't afford any unforced errors. So SEO is incredibly important. But then the question becomes, how can you deliver a good experience? So let's take a look at what Google really wants. And there are 3 things that Google is looking for on your website. The first thing is really good on-page experience. Google and other search engines want to see efficient code with no errors. They want to see a website that looks great on mobile devices. is easy to navigate, and one that loads quickly. We've kind of gone over all of those patient experience factors. But they also want to see great content. In general, your content through blogging and other content marketing needs to be informative for the patient. You have to answer patient questions and really fit the search intent of their query in order to rank highly. It also has to be in-depth and educational. Google doesn't rank thin content anymore. So if you think you're going to get by just churning out a bunch of blog posts that are 150 words and just spamming the internet with those, that doesn't work anymore. Your content needs to answer the patient's questions adequately. And it also has to be easy for Google to index. And that plays into the good on-page experience we just talked about. The third thing Google's really looking for is your good reputation around the web. So do an audit of what people are saying about you. What are patients saying about you in your reviews? What do third-party sites say? What kind of mentions are you getting around the internet? And can Google and other search engines really trust you? And this plays into two factors, EAT and YMYL. EAT is a major factor in Google's algorithm these days, and it stands for expertise, authoritativeness, and trust. If you want to rank highly, Google actually has to know that you're an expert, that you're authoritative on the topic you're writing about, and that what you say is trustworthy. And that's because of this second acronym, YMYL. Healthcare is solidly in the YMYL space, and it stands for your money or your life. So YMYL topics are those that if the information is presented incorrectly or inadequately, it could have an outsized negative impact on a person's health, well-being, or financial stability. So because healthcare is in this sensitive space, Google is going to hold you to a higher standard because of the importance of the topic. They want to know that you're actually an expert in your field and that the advice that you're giving and the content that you're creating is not only answering patients' questions, but is doing so in a way that's helpful and is not going to harm anyone down the road. So let's take a look at how SEO works. So as a doctor, you create content and put it on your website. This could be information about the services you offer, blog posts, maybe podcast episodes or frequently asked questions. And then Google comes in and crawls your website, finds that new content that you've written, and indexes it away for future use. Then someday a patient comes along and does a search. And hopefully Google surfaces your website as the most relevant result for that patient's query. SEO is all about giving patients and Google what they want to see and doing that legwork to get rewarded for those high rankings. Now, those three elements of SEO, a little bit of what we just talked about. There are the on-page factors like your website's design, code, loading time, mobile friendliness, things like that. There are also your off-page factors, which include backlinks back to your website and mentions of your brand around the internet. And then those other factors, EAT, the reputation of your brand, et cetera. Google analyzes all of these elements and its algorithms find the right place for your content to rank based on those factors. So SEO sounds pretty wonderful. There are definitely pros, but there are some cons too. So we'll get into those here. Pros, SEO is by far the best way to build authority in your space and in your market. And once you've earned rankings, it's really hard for competitors to knock you off that number one spot. It's not very likely that competition can open up shop down the street and instantly be on page one. They've got a long road ahead of them. And because of that, SEO really gives a long-term strategic advantage. So it's very beneficial to practices who engage in SEO campaigns. But there are some cons too. SEO is definitely a long-term strategy. There are no silver bullets to overnight rankings. And SEO requires investments as well. There's no four easy payments of $19.99 to be found here. Most fully managed SEO campaigns are going to run at least $1,000 a month if not more, depending on the size of your website, the content that you're writing, how competitive your market is, and a number of other factors. And it's really hard to do SEO in-house. So Google makes 3,000 algorithm changes per year, and it takes a few hundred hours just to get certified and learn the tools to actually analyze the results that you're seeing. So if you don't live, eat, and breathe SEO, you're not very likely to get a payoff. And when you look at SEO, it's really important to take the long road because it does take time, but it can deliver really fantastic results. So let's take a look at a case study. This is a client of ours who's a plastic surgeon in a market of about 7.5 million people. Their previous SEO provider wasn't implementing changes in a timely manner. Their website actually got hacked during the process, and they had lots of on-page red flags. Their reputation was just a mess. They weren't seeing results in their SEO, even though their surgeon had been in business for over 25 years, their rankings were dropping each and every month. So we performed an audit of their website and their reputation around the internet, addressed on-page issues to improve online patient experience, and in the process, we actually ended up redesigning their website to fix some of the issues. And we began building links to help Google recognize the authority that they brought to the table. And as a result, we saw 12 keywords come onto page one when they didn't have any previously before we started working. In just 9 months, we saw 127% improvement in rankings. And overall, that has translated into a 32% increase in monthly leads. So SEO has been a really great strategy for them. But it's just one strategy that you can use to actually get more patients to your practice. So next, we'll turn our attention to another, which is pay-per-click advertising campaigns. Now, the problem for many new practices in particular is that you need leads right away. But SEO, as we mentioned, takes a long time. And that's where PPC comes in because it can offer immediate leads. So we'll take a look at how PPC works. And just as a side note, I'll use Google as an example when I'm talking about PPC because Google is by far the largest advertising platform out there. But pretty much all of the major ad platforms work the same way. So if you hear me say Google, the same applies to DuckDuckGo and Bing and other search engines ad platforms. So a patient performs a search on Google. They type in maybe something like LASIK surgeon near me. Google looks through its index of advertisers who have bid on that keyword and said, hey, when somebody types this in, I want to appear. They run an auction to determine whose ad shows up first above those organic results that come as a result of SEO. And then a patient clicks on an ad. So they click on an ad and visit that website. Now, paid ads receive 41% of clicks on Google, and the majority of patients click on the very first thing that they see that answers their question or matches that search intent, regardless of whether it's an ad or not. And it's at this point that the advertiser is actually charged. That's why it's called pay per click. So on the website, let's assume that a patient fills out a form or submits some kind of offer to become a lead. This is called a conversion. And over time, that advertiser will receive aggregate data on how much it costs to acquire a new lead from their advertising efforts. Over time, they can reinvest profits back into PPC in the form of higher bids and higher budgets. That leads to more leads, and you can get that practice flywheel spinning, so to speak. The great thing about PPC is that once you've found a profitable formula with your campaigns and your ads and your keywords, it's practically infinitely scalable. So we've worked with some practices who got that flywheel spinning and have been spending upwards of $500 a day on ads because they're attracting leads on a massive scale. So PPC is a really great place to start. But again, there are pros and cons. The pros, it's data-driven. It's super easy to demonstrate ROI. And with Google in particular, there are lots of opportunities to leverage big data, artificial intelligence, and machine learning to enhance those opportunities to get new leads. That data-driven approach lets you have smarter marketing decisions. In the old days, it used to be, hey, we're going to spend a few $1,000s on a campaign, and we won't have any results for 30 or 60 days. And even when the results do come back, we don't really know how it worked. These days, thanks to A/B testing of different ads and different campaigns, you can run tests to see which ones perform best and make changes on the fly. So you won't waste as much marketing spent there. But there are cons of pay-per-click campaigns. You do have to fill that pipeline with money every single month, or else your results are going to dry up, because as soon as you stop paying, those leads aren't coming through the door. Now, budgets depend on various different factors, but for most new practices to really see results, it takes about $1,500 a month at least in ad spend to really move the needle. Personally, I'm not going to recommend to any client spending less than $1,000, because at that point on a monthly basis, the insights you're getting aren't really statistically significant. And once you've spent it, you've spent it. If your campaigns aren't structured properly, you could be throwing money down the drain. And that's why it's really important to have clear goals and good management in place to get the most from your ad spend. But despite these cons, PPC remains the number one best place for new practices in particular to start, because the ROI can be very positive and it can happen right away. So as we wrap up here, I'll show just a brief PPC case study. And this is of a LASIK surgeon in a market of around 500,000 people. So their previous PPC manager was kind of light on implementation, and it took forever for them to actually get changes made to their campaigns. It wasn't moving the needle, and the practice really wasn't happy with their pricing structure either. This particular PPC manager charged a percentage of ad spend, which a lot of managers in the industry do. So this had the effect of the practice being penalized, in essence, for spending more money on ads. The more they spent, the more that they were charged as a management fee as well. So we took over management of their PPC campaigns, and thanks to our efforts, they've seen a 49% increase in website traffic and 154% increase in new monthly patient leads. And to take just a recent 3-week period as an example, they had one campaign that they spent $1,600 on in the course of 3 weeks. That yielded 25 leads, and with their conversion numbers, they turned that $1,600 into a $58,000 profit, which was an ROI of nearly 3,500%, actually more than that. So PPC can be incredibly beneficial to your practice and getting new patient leads, as long as it's done right. So to recap what we've talked about today, your brand is the sum of all touch points that patients have with your organization. And when you're thinking about your brand, leave no stone unturned. Consider every single aspect of your brand and of the experience that patients could have. Your website is the starting point for all patient interactions. So you need to focus on the fundamentals and providing the best online experience possible. SEO represents the best long-term competitive strategy to build an enduring healthcare brand. It takes time, but it's well worth the investment in the long run. PPC, on the other hand, is the best opportunity for immediate patient leads. And yes, it does require continual ad spend, but it can be instantly ROI positive, and it's very data driven. If you want to grow your practice, you need to strike the right balance between all of these different channels. Take an excellent website and back it up with the right strategic investments in SEO for that long-term competitive advantage, paired with PPC campaigns for immediate patient leads. Over time, you can reinvest those profits into advertising and patient acquisition efforts to get that practice flywheel spinning faster and faster. And if you need some help, we're more than happy to discuss any of our offerings with you. We specialize in these three things for healthcare organizations. So whether you might want to switch from your current marketing provider, or if you're just starting a campaign for scratch, we want to help you see you grow. And we do have flexible work structures as well. So we work with existing practices, brand new practices, and also alongside other marketing consultants. So for smaller practices, oftentimes we function as a fully outsourced marketing team. For practices with in-house marketing teams, we partner with them to outsource certain channels while their in-house team focuses on others. And if you have a larger marketing team that might need guidance or insights, we also provide marketing consulting to help those teams get a fresh perspective on how their campaigns are going. I also want to highlight a few offers for attendees of this webinar today. If you have a website, but you're not sure how you rank, we offer a free SEO audit of your existing website to give you a roadmap on where to go next to achieve those higher rankings. And if you happen to be running any PPC campaigns already, we have a free Google Ads audit that can help you identify room for improvement and give you, again, a roadmap to boost that ROI. Regardless of where you find yourself, I'd love to connect with you and see how our team can help you grow your practice. So you can contact me via email or on Twitter. You can check out our website at messenger.md. We've got tons of practice marketing resources on the site. And if you enjoyed the webinar today, you can also search for the Medical Marketing Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you like to listen. We try to put out a new episode every week that helps practices improve their marketing, grow revenue, and take that patient experience to the next level. So with that, I will hand it back over to Marianne for some Q&A time.
Thank you, Crawford, for the comprehensive presentation. We are now going to answer a few questions that have been sent by our audience. All right, so the very first question is, what budget should we put away for marketing at the start? Crawford, would you like to take this question, please?
Yeah, that's a really good question. It's hard to answer that one off the top of my head because every practice is so unique. Different specialties have different revenue that they make on procedures or patient visits or whatnot. And it does depend on what type of marketing mix you want to have. So if you're going to invest in something like PPC campaigns, I would recommend a minimum of $1,000 a month, again, depending on your market and the size and the competition. SEO, again, as I said, often ends up being at least $1,000 a month to optimize your website and help you climb up higher in those rankings. We see many of practices that we work with, their overall marketing budget is anywhere from $3,000 at the low end. Some are spending upwards of $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 at the high end. If they have a larger practice or maybe a multi-location practice in more competitive markets. So it really does depend. But if you start off small with a new practice and make those investments strategically, and then really focus on reinvesting revenue back into marketing. As I said in my presentation, that gets the flywheel spinning and it just makes those results a lot easier to achieve over time.
So we only have time to take one more question, and this is from Richard. He says, if I did not have a lot of money to dedicate to the marketing of the practice, what are the essential steps that I should still invest in? Crawford, this one is for you.
Yeah, well, that's a great question. Aside from the, you know, must-have of having a website to which to send your patients, if you have a limited budget and you need patients quickly, especially if you're a new practice, I would recommend investing in pay-per-click advertising campaigns first, primarily because they are so data-driven. You can run quick experiments and reach a lot of people fairly cheaply. It does depend, again, on your market and your particular specialty. Those factors will influence how many patient leads you could get from that. But if you have a limited budget and you need patients quickly, I would recommend engaging in PPC campaigns, because you match that search intent. For instance, you know somebody is looking for a LASIK surgeon or a plastic surgeon near them. You match that search intent with an ad that meets that patient exactly where they are, and they say, whoa, that's perfect, that's exactly what I'm looking for. They land on your website and they take that next step. So for immediate leads with a limited budget, I would definitely recommend pay-per-click campaigns as a first starting place.
All right, thank you so much, Crawford. I think this is about the time we have for today. Thank you so much to our speakers as well as the audience for taking out the time. I hope you found the webinar helpful. Have a good week ahead. Stay safe.
Well, that's all for this week's episode of the Medical Marketing Podcast. Thanks for tuning in. For Messenger, I'm Crawford Ifland. See you next time.